Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Great big giant Monday show. Trent Horn is our guest, world traveler Trent Horn, recently back from the Catholic Answers cruise down the Danube. This is kind of the heart of Christian Europe, wouldn't you say? Is that the right way to say it, you think?
Yeah, we learned a lot about the age of Christendom, about the church in the Middle Ages, not the Dark Ages, as it's erroneously called. I don't even like the term Middle Ages. It makes it seem like nothing happened between Rome and the Renaissance, which simply isn't the case. But we learned a lot about that, about Reformation, Counter-Reformation, about how the church preserved European civilization during the incursion of the Ottoman Empire, prevented, you know, Islam from essentially taking over Europe and the Western world, which would have vastly changed the outcome of human history. So it was great. It was wonderful. And there'll be another cruise in February. And the cruise is a great time to meet other like-minded Catholics and to be able to hear really great talks. And we had a lot of great talks on this cruise, and I gave a few, and I think they turned out okay.
Oh, well, I heard very good things. 888-31-TRUTH is our number here. And Trent, the author, among many other things, of Persuasive Pro-Life, is taking calls on why you are pro-choice. If you're a pro-choice person and you would like to share with us why you hold that view, whether you hold the view, a limited pro-choice view, or there are many who have this view, and you would consider this pro-choice, I'm sure. Well, I would never have an abortion, but I'm not going to tell somebody else what to do. That's essentially a pro-choice view.
Right. Yeah. It's the claim that, well, I think something is wrong with abortion. It's trying to have one's cake and eat it too. To say, yes, I'm sensitive. I understand there's something wrong about abortion. It's not good. But I also want to respect other people and give them their choices. So you try to appease both sides, appeasing me by saying I agree with you, abortion is bad, and appeasing the pro-choice person by saying I agree with you, people should get to have their choices. But you're not really agreeing with me, because I don't think abortion is merely bad. It's not just something I dislike. Abortion is the violation of an unborn child's rights, his right to life. So it's not that it's just something I dislike. It's something that's unjust that has to stop. And so I want to try to convince people of that we should protect all human beings. Everyone should have the right to life, from the youngest to the oldest among us.
888-318-7884. If you are a pro-choice person, would like to discuss that with Trent, 888-318-7884. I'm going to go to calls, Trent, but one of the rules of the show is don't mention cake in the second hour, because it's very hard for me if I have to think about cake for the whole second hour of the show.
Well, as your Catholic school teacher once said, Si, offer it up.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Offer it up.
I like to offer it up while I'm eating it. Maddie in El Centro listening to, it must be John Paul II Catholic Radio out there in the Imperial Valley, a radio station that we love very much, very dear to our hearts here. Maddie, why are you pro-choice?
Hey, you guys.
Hi.
Hi, Maddie.
Hi. That's so funny to talk about cake. I'm a baker. Hi, I think about cake now.
Oh, could you, Maddie, could you possibly take your phone off of a speaker or Bluetooth if that's
what you're doing? Can you hear me? Sorry.
Yeah, nope. It's much easier. Yes. All right. You are a baker.
Sorry.
And
I'm a baker.
Okay.
And so I am pro-choice because while I am Christian, I believe that all kids that are brought into the world should have love, you know, unconditional love, as I was brought up with. Mm-hmm. But we have so many kids in the system currently who will never experience that. I myself can't understand why anyone would want to bring more children that would be possibly unloved or even have any negative experiences into the world when we should be advocating for the ones that are already here.
Okay, well, Maddie, let me bring up a few points because other callers brought this up as well. Their concern for children who are unloved or unwanted. First, number one, to say a child is unloved or unwanted, those are terms I don't like using because it makes it sound like there's something intrinsic to the child, like they're a blue-eyed, blonde-haired child. We'd say, well, you know, that's something about the child. The terms unloved and unwanted, they say nothing about the child. They only say something about the attitude of parents and other people whose duty is to care for the child. So if you have a child who is deprived of love or deprived of care, the answer is what should we do for that child? And I think the absolute wrong answer is just to kill that child. That way the child doesn't exist anymore. That doesn't solve the problem. That just tries to make the problem essentially go away. That'd be like saying, well, we could end homelessness by just killing all the homeless. Well, yeah, you won't have homelessness anymore, but now the solution is worse than the problem you're trying to solve. And so that's what I see with unborn children, born children, and the question of foster care. Number two, another point I bring up, would you agree? Well, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but this is from my experience. Most children who are in foster care and are not being adopted, the reason is because their parents still have parental rights over them, so they can't be adopted. They're in a weird legal limbo. And they were at one time loved. They were a wanted child. They were in a good home, and the home has fallen apart, usually because of drugs or crime or something like that. And now what do we do with these children? I think if we wouldn't kill a 5 or 6 year old that ended up in foster care, we'd say, well, we do our best to help them. Why not do the same thing for an unborn child? Because here's the thing. I mean, if you have a child, you say, well, the possibility something bad might happen to them. But that's all of us. If we never had any children, if children were not born, if we didn't give birth to children because something bad might happen to them, the human race would go extinct, right?
Well, definitely. But you keep on saying, and I heard you with the previous caller, Justin, like child, child, child.
Yeah.
And I guess the best analogy I could say is, you know, if I'm in the kitchen and I'm baking a cake and I have my eggs in there, my flour, some baking soda, is the cake already a cake or is it just batter? And that's how I feel. I don't feel like it's an unborn child. And so if you have that within your power to be like, hey, we're already overpopulated, I'm not going to, because I know that, you know, you'll probably judge me on this, but only God can judge me. But, you know, if I were to get pregnant, I would not keep the child. It's not something that, oh, you know, how you were speaking with the previous caller, like, you know, just because you don't love something at some time, you can fall in love, or how you fall in love and, you know, get back in love or back and forth. I don't want a child.
Okay.
And therefore, even if it is considered a child in your eyes, it's still cake batter in my eyes. Like, I don't want that. And that's why I feel like those who choose
shouldn't have to. Sure, Maddie. I want to break down your analogy because, I mean, I see where you're coming from, that if pregnancy involves just genetic material, if a child does not exist in a pregnant mother's womb, then you'd be absolutely right. In fact, I would say abortion is not a big deal at all. Abortion, I think governments could pay for abortion. I think abortion, we should, you know, you could watch documentaries to see abortions being performed. I mean, people show all kinds of surgeries in documentaries on television, brain surgery and heart surgery. And if abortion is just another surgery, heck, why not make documentaries about it? But I think deep down people know, no, abortion's not like other surgeries. And what is in the womb is not a potential child. I'm not sure if the comparison works because cake batter and cakes, when we say a cake, the only thing that changes, yeah, there's chemical changes in the batter. It rises and it expands. But it's not a living thing that's growing and developing. But for example, if you have, I'm trying to think of an example here, that it's not like cake batter. This would be a better analogy. Let's try this, Maddie. Do you have a favorite celebrity or a celebrity you like?
Yes.
Okay. So let's say, I'm not going to ask you to say it on air unless you want to. I don't want you to be embarrassed.
It's Gordon Ramsay. You can go.
Okay, Gordon Ramsay. So you run into Gordon Ramsay at one of his restaurants, and I'm there, and you say, oh, take my picture of Gordon Ramsay. And you have one of those new, like, retro Polaroid cameras. So, you know, it's a Polaroid camera, and Polaroid cameras where you take the picture and the paper comes out, and, you know, when you take a Polaroid photo and the thing comes out, at least on the old ones, you don't see the picture right away. It's just a brown smudge. Okay, so let's say I took that picture with you and Gordon Ramsay. The little paper comes out, and he walks away, he gets on his jet, he leaves, and I look at the paper and I say, oh, that stinks, and I tear up that photo. You'd probably be mad at me if I tore up that photo of you and Gordon Ramsay. But what if I said to you, no, that's not a picture with you and Gordon Ramsay. That was just a brown smudge. That obviously wasn't him. It's just a brown smudge isn't a picture of you and a celebrity. You would say, well, no, it was
a
picture.
But that's what it is a smudge.
But no, would you be mad if I tore the picture up?
No, because there was nothing there. It had the potential, but it never developed. That's what I'm saying. It had the potential, just like the cake has the potential. But is it cake? It's just batter.
But
it can't sing to you. It can't talk to you. It can't do anything. It's the potential.
Maddie, would you agree there would be a difference if I tore up a blank Polaroid or I tore up the one that had the picture of you and Chef Gordon? If he's your favorite celebrity, you would want that brown smudge. It would be valuable to you, right?
Well, first off, one of them is already alive. So that's what I'm saying. The other one is something that can grow to be a living being, but it's just a living thing at that point. And it to be a thing and it be in my body as a woman, I don't think that to compare, you know, someone that's already alive is fair, or even a child, because I would never say, oh, go and, you know, kill a child if you don't want your kid anymore. But
Maddie,
you know,
if it's growing in the womb, it's alive, right? If that's why it's growing.
It's alive, but it's not a child.
Is it have human? Does it have? Does it have human? Does it have human parents?
Yes.
So it's a growing, living thing with human parents. Isn't that? And here's how I would define a child. A child is a young, growing thing with human parents.
It has the potential to be a child. That's what I feel like you're missing. I'm on the same page as you as far as I'm against abortion.
But why are you against abortion?
I'm against abortion for myself, not for others. I'm against abortion because I believe, personally, I have quite a few people in my life who have been raped. I'm a rape victim myself. And it leaves scars on you when you have abortions. Not so much for the potential of the child, but the mother. It's very hard. No woman that I know of, not to say that they don't exist, would ever willing to be like, you know what, I'm going to go on Friday night, I'm going to do some things that could lead to a pregnancy, and I'll get an abortion, you know, if it happens. That doesn't happen.
Why is abortion so scarring? Do you think abortion is more scarring than having your wisdom teeth taken out? Appendectomy?
Definitely.
Why?
Because I think that society, it's definitely not because, oh, I killed something. It's definitely not that. It's society has put that pressure on, you know, any of your friends, your family members, the person that, you know, you got pregnant by. Everyone, you know, has this image of how a woman should react when she is pregnant. So there's a society, a cultural shame that's put on it. To me, it's not the guilt, even the women that I know. It's not because, oh, you know, it would have been this age or this or that. It's the, you know what, everybody, if they knew, would look at me differently instead of seeing how happy or how I did what I wanted for my life, which was best for me. And that's it.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. So you're, I guess we have to, are we near a...
Yeah, we got to take a break.
Unfortunately. I guess the way I would look at here, and I would encourage you to read that, to me, that does not correspond with the testimony of women who regret their abortions and find the trauma and scarring. I would recommend reading testimonies from websites like Silent No More. And the women there who are traumatized and have the scars from abortion, it's not merely because of expectations society places on them. It's because of the realization of the act of violence they committed against their child. And so for me, if we arbitrarily define child as just a born human being, we can try to arbitrarily define it that way, but it doesn't change the reality of what abortion does to a small human being. And we just simply shouldn't treat them that way. So a good resource for our listeners, if you want to hear why women regret their abortions, will be the website Silent No More.
And Maddie, we will have to leave it there. Thank you so much. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more calls for Trent Horn on why folks are pro-choice. If you are a pro-choice person, your call is very welcome today, 888-318-7884. Take a quick break. Be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Do you enjoy tedious lectures full of facts you'll never use? We didn't think so. That's why we're launching the Council of Trent, Trent Horn's engaging new podcast. Every week, you'll get lively lessons in Catholic teaching, as well as a new conversation roadmap that will help you share your Catholic faith with anyone, anytime, anywhere. Visit TrentHornPodcast.com now to find out how you can subscribe to this exciting new podcast.
Summer is upon us, and though the temperatures are going up, the prices are coming down during Catholic Answers' first ever summer book sale in the online shop at Catholic.com. For a limited time, dozens of great books are available for $10, $5, even as low as $1 a copy. This is the time to load up on solid Catholic books for you, your friends, and your family. The spectacular online event offers savings of 50% and more on books by Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Rod Bennett, Gary Machuda, and a whole host of esteemed authors, evangelists, and apologists. We've even got all of the books in our Catholic Answers Classics series marked down. Log on now to shop.catholic.com and take advantage of what will be one of the most exciting sales of the summer. You know it's all good stuff because it's from the people you know and trust at Catholic Answers. Log on to shop.catholic.com and start saving today.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit MysticMonkCoffee.com. That's MysticMonkCoffee.com.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Today is the day for pro-choice callers. If you are a pro-choice listener and like to talk with us about why you or how you reason yourself to that position of being a pro-choice person, give us a call. 888-318-7884 is our number. Our guest is Trent Horn today. Trent is the author of Persuasive Pro-Life, Why We're Catholic, Hard Sayings, What the Saints Never Said, and many other books. Have you noticed how well I've done with What the Saints Never Said?
You have quoted it correctly. It would be a shame to misquote my book on saintly misquotes.
That's correct. But how's the podcast going? I didn't even ask you about that. I was all excited that you're back in America, and I forgot to ask you, how's the podcast going?
I think it's going well, and I'm excited to introduce new features. So the podcast is released weekly, and the last episode, I recorded it while I was on the Catholic Answers River Cruise. It was a great interview with Archbishop Alexander Samples on why sacred music matters and how to make the music in your parish more sacred and reverent. So what I'm trying to do with these episodes on the podcast is dive deeply into topics, short, something you can listen to on a commute very easily, to help equip people when it comes to defending and explaining the Catholic faith by taking a different topic each week. And also, if you become a premium subscriber to the podcast, you will get access to articles and to bonus episodes that other people don't get, just so that you can continue to grow in your knowledge. And once I get enough subscribers, we're actually moving very close to this. I'd like to release some animated web episodes you could share with your friends online to, you know, just helpful, catchy videos that explain the faith, as well as full-length courses in apologetics. The goal will be here. These would be courses that I teach that you could enroll in, and hopefully one day will be accredited and you could take credits to a Catholic university. So, but we need supporters to be able to do that as part of an extension of my podcast. And if you want to learn more about that and you want to support it in those projects, you can go to TrentHornPodcast.com.
TrentHornPodcast.com. I think if people are going to be supporters, you should do a blooper roll. Nothing entertains the old folks like me like a blooper roll.
I think I could accommodate in the future. But what's great about being a supporter also is I oftentimes ask those who support the podcast to tell me what questions they want answered in future podcasts.
Oh, cool.
So we do that. And also, though, even if you're not a supporter, I would just still recommend checking out the free content. Just download on iTunes or Google Play. The podcast name is The Council of Trent, C-O-U-N-S-E-L, Council, The Council of Trent. And download it. Leave a review. That's always really helpful to help people learn more about the podcast. So Council of Trent on podcast search engines, or go to TrentHornPodcast.com for more.
Why are you pro-choice is our topic this hour. We go now to Ryan, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Ryan, why are you pro-choice?
Well, you know what, I'm not pro-choice, but I want to start off with saying this. This is an awesome pleasure to be able to speak to you. You know, you're truly blessed with the Holy Spirit over there, Trent.
Thanks.
Your wisdom is beyond your years, and you have an exceptional knowledge of the philosophy of science. I've listened to all your recordings, and I've read your Catholic Answers books, Catholic Answering Atheism, and I've The Case for Catholicism, another good one.
Thank you.
So,
it's not going to help you today, Ryan.
Yeah, look, so I got a long discussion with one of my professors and about abortion. He says that I'm confusing what is with what is about to be. For instance, he says a seed may become a tree, but it's not a tree. And similarly, he says an embryo is not a person, though it may become a person.
Right.
And so he identifies personhood with sentience. So basically, if not sentience, he says there is no person. So how would you respond to that?
Sure. And Ryan, I'd also recommend as a resource my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, covers this in great detail. But I would say your professor has made an error in his analogy when he says the classic objection goes like this. An acorn is not an oak tree, and a fetus is not a person. But the problem here is that an acorn or any fertilized seed is a very small version of the larger tree or plant. So an acorn is an oak. It's not an oak tree, but it's an oak at the very first stages of its life. Then when the acorn grows, it becomes a sapling. That sapling is a little oak. It's just not a tree. So you're correct. So the analogy is better like this. An acorn is not an oak tree in the same way a fetus is not an adult. So so it's right that different plants will go through stages of development. Animals will go through stages of development. Like a puppy is not a full-grown dog, but it's still a small version of a dog. And a fetus or unborn child is a small version of a human being. That's where the stage that we all grew through. So I think what I would say here is I'd ask him, well, what is a person? And he's saying, well, sentience. And I'd ask him, well, what does sentience mean? If it means just thinking or feeling anything, then not just humans are sentient, are persons. That would mean any animal that thought or felt anything, like a squirrel, a rat, or a pigeon, would be persons with the same value as you and I. That means fumigators would be mass murderers because rats are sentient. Now, if somebody says, well, not that kind of sentience. I mean thinking and consciousness and rational thought. Okay, if that's what makes you a person, then congratulations. Newborn infants are now not persons because they're not conscious and sentient in that way. So the problem is anyone who tries to define what a person is and exclude the unborn, they're either going to include animals, non-human animals, or they're going to exclude born people like the disabled or newborn infants. And that's the problem with going through these definitions of person that are based on function or what you can do. A better definition is based on identity or what you are. And what you are is if you're a member of the human species, you're a member of a valuable community, the human community, and all members of that community, we all differ in many different ways, but if we're all equally human in our species and our nature, then we should be treated equally. So I think that should be helpful for you. And then I would recommend my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, if you'd like to go more in depth on those arguments. But thanks for calling.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks very much. I believe we can go to Teresa in Nebraska, but Teresa, we may not be able to get a full answer in. Would you be able to hold over the break if we need to?
Sure.
Okay. Teresa, why are you pro-choice?
Basically, being pro-choice, I think really my main reasoning, it does fall into the very few percent. You know, people that are pregnant through rape, or people that are pregnant through incest. Also, you know, if you have an ectopic pregnancy or a pregnancy that is putting the mother's life in danger, then, you know, that's a very difficult kind of question. Many mothers will, you know, die for that. I mean, I have a child. I would gladly die for it.
Good. Teresa, can I ask you a question? Are there reasons for abortion that you're against? Like you would say, no, we shouldn't allow abortions for birth control, for example?
Well, you know, the biggest issue, I guess, I have with abortion is the fact that being such a religious kind of country, I mean, there is a very religious stronghold, you know, that, you know, began from the, you know, the people that colonized this country.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, one nation under God. And so in school, we still have that impact. Well, we're not taught how to have safe sex. We're taught to abstain. And these are the horrible things that will happen to you.
Well, Teresa, that takes us a little bit different away from abortion. We'll be back a little bit after these messages, and I'm happy to address some of those concerns, but I want to find out from you why you think abortion should be legal so we can talk about that.
Hang on, Teresa. We will do that. And the rest of callers that are there, you hang on as well. We're coming right back with more Trent Horn after this.
Talking about abortion can be scary, but so is anything with which you're unfamiliar. People need to learn how to talk about abortion in ways that inspire confidence in the truth of the pro-life position. We must talk about abortion because we are afraid. Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, is the new book by apologist Trent Horn that teaches you to face those fears, to engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue with the goal of persuading others. Field-tested on college campuses, Persuasive Pro-Life will help you to change people's hearts and minds and begin to build up a pro-life culture in today's world. One person, one conversation at a time. Order your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, today by calling 1-888-291-8000, going to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore in your area. Also available as an ebook.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. We all hear sayings like these, and we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Nobody can seem to place their origin, but by sheer repetition, they've acquired a halo of truth. In my new book, What the Saints Never Said, I look at over 40 of these well-known sayings and track them back to their original sources. You'll be surprised at what I found. Some are close to what was really said. Many were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few of these sayings were simply made up. I hope by setting the record straight, I can make you aware of the theological errors that can lead us away from the faith and offer you authentic quotes from Scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to our faith. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Looking for a solid and dependable Catholic radio station in your area? One that's uplifting and authoritative? A trustworthy tool for the new evangelization? God may be calling you to a mission in Catholic radio. Find out how you can start a Catholic radio station where you live, powered by the truth of the Church and EWTN's dynamic radio programming.
Contact me, Jack Williams, at 205-795-5756 or jwilliams@ewtn.com.
Why are you pro-choice is the question of the day today. Addressing that question, our callers, 888-318-7884, the number if you're a pro-choice person and you'd like to call. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. We're talking with Teresa in Nebraska when we had to go to the break. Trent Horn is our guest, and Teresa is on, still in line. You're still with us, right, Teresa?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay.
All right, Teresa, we spoke a little bit at finding out why you're pro-choice, and I kind of heard two things. One, there are these hard cases that bother you, like pregnancies from rape or incest, or if a pregnancy threatens a mother's life. The other thing that bothered you is that because of religious elements in our country, that gives us something like sex education you disagree with, like abstinence-only education that doesn't really equip students to make good decisions. And I think those are actually kind of two separate issues when it comes to abortion and sex education. When it comes to sex education, I think that parents primarily should be ones to educate their children, not simply in don't do this, but to teach them virtue so they can always make good decisions for the benefit of others and train them to be virtuous, which is like training to be athletic. It's very, very hard work and takes a lot of discipline to grow in that area. You just tell somebody to be virtuous is like just telling somebody to be healthy. You have to be disciplined and grow at it and need help to do that. And I think that's a separate issue, how to equip young people to make good decisions about their sexuality. So I'd like to more focus just on abortion and why it should be legal. So you'd mentioned the hard cases, but I wanted to see, are there cases where you think abortion is wrong?
Well, basically, I think that, in my opinion, that should be really has nothing to do with my opinion. I think it should be the woman who's pregnant's opinion. I mean, do you think that pregnancy should be mandatory?
I don't think people should be forced to become pregnant, but I do think if you're pregnant, you have a child inside of you, so you shouldn't be allowed to hurt that child. Does that make sense?
I agree that, you know, people don't want to look at it as hurting their children. But, you know, babies can still live when they have been prematurely, you know, they came out prematurely at 22 weeks. But there are still some clinics that will abort a child at 22 weeks.
Yes.
So it's really difficult to say that I am in favor of something where, you know, a child, especially with our medical technology, could live and you decide to kill them. And, I mean, it is barbaric, you know, in terms of how they handle certain, when they're at certain stages.
What did you say, Teresa? When I was listening to you, it sounded like you said, it's difficult for me to be in favor of this. It's barbaric and awful. Are you in favor?
No,
you're not in favor of abortions at that stage.
Well, I guess I want to clarify and say that I'm married. Mm-hmm. I love my husband. I would love to have a larger family. Mm-hmm. So I don't think, you know, abortion, I don't ever want to have an abortion. But I do think that informed decisions, you know, women should have informed decisions about their reproductive health and that it shouldn't be limited, you know, by any authority, be it religious or government. And I don't think that we or anyone should judge a woman.
Should judge a woman for what?
If that's their choice.
Why?
Well, I mean, are you the first to throw a stone? I mean, I've also worked in social work.
Teresa, the reason I bring that up is I agree we shouldn't judge people's hearts, for example, because we don't know what's the content of someone's heart. But I hear this phrase a lot, and I have a very hard time with it. We say, well, you shouldn't judge them. And I think sometimes people include in that judge the actions that they do, but we certainly can judge people's actions because someone can perform an act that hurts an innocent person.
God supposed to be the one that judges us?
Teresa, God judges our souls, the content of our souls, and whether we have his grace or not, whether we live in the light of God or we don't. But we always judge other people's actions. For example, it sounds like you're judging my actions for saying that we should judge the actions of those who choose abortion or harming their child. Like you have a negative view towards something I would do.
I prefer, you know, you not put words in my mouth, but I'm posing questions like you are.
Sure.
You know.
Well, here's what I'm trying. Let's take it back a little bit then. I think you and I agree we can say that certain actions men and women perform, mothers and fathers, we can judge those actions and say they are wrong when they involve born children, like if they neglect or abuse their born child, we can say that's wrong, you should not do that.
But women also neglect and abuse their babies when they're unborn, when they are on meth the entire time they're pregnant. And I've seen and worked with individuals right. that are the product of that.
Well, they shouldn't.
I've also.
And they shouldn't do that.
I've also worked with families in another position that, you know, for 17 years, this girl went through absolute. You can't imagine what this little girl went through, and it makes you very sad that even some people reproduce if that is what they do to children.
I know. When you hear, I agree with you that when I read in the news about child abuse or. You know, there was a story out here, in, I think it was California, where like this family kept their kids locked up in cages. Yeah, it makes you angry. Absolutely. There is a righteous anger when people do things to harm their own children. You and I are in agreement on that, and includes their unborn children. I mean, I think you and I agree parents shouldn't take drugs that can harm their unborn baby so the baby's born with a disability. Like that's wrong, right?
It is. It's totally wrong. I guess, you know.
But so it sounds like we agree a lot. So then, like, why not go the next step? If you and I agree, hey, people shouldn't take drugs to hurt their unborn child, why would we allow abortion that kills unborn children?
Because you're not that woman, and you're not in that position. You don't know what she's dealing with. You don't know what economic status she's in. You don't know what happened and what are all of the factors that came into play that ended up with her being pregnant. You know, birth control is not 100% effective. Condoms break.
Well, Teresa, let me give you an example then. Let's say one of these poor women using drugs, you know, she's not taking care of herself and she ends up being pregnant. She doesn't even know she's pregnant. That happens to people. And so she gives birth at home, and her baby is you know, disabled or sick. She gives birth at home, and she doesn't want to have to deal with all this, and it's just a crazy situation for her. So she wants to just be able to kill that baby right after it's born because she would have gotten an abortion if she could have. Should she be allowed to kill the baby, you know, the day after it's born because she's in this really bad situation?
Well, you said she – okay, so she didn't know she was pregnant.
Right. And she gives birth at home, and you know, and she's here with the baby, but your reasoning, you're saying like we can't know this woman.
Well, in theory, like that's like saying you know if a tree falls in the forest, we hear it. You know, I mean,
how is it like that? Like that does happen. People do give birth. It's rare, but it does happen. People don't know they're pregnant, and then they end up giving birth at home.
Right. Well, I mean, like. And that would almost be what you're talking about is, I mean, I don't want to sound crude or cruel here, but, I mean, that child is basically, there's no record or even knowledge of this child.
Right, but, okay, I see. That's what you mean by the tree falling in the woods. I get it. But so right. I want to ask you, though, would it be wrong for her to kill that child after the baby's born? Even if she's the only one who knew about it.
You know, if she's the only one that knew about it, that's going to affect her soul.
So will it negatively affect her soul?
If she keeps doing drugs, she probably doesn't care.
Okay, Teresa, I just got to ask you, is it wrong for her to kill that baby after it's born? Is it wrong?
You know, I mean, I'm a mother. What am I? Do you think that I'm going to say, "Oh hell yeah, let's kill the baby"? You know, I'm not going to say that. But you know, I mean, of course, you wouldn't want this baby to be killed. And if you're going to compare that to
Teresa,
abortion,
it's
apples to oranges.
We can make that discussion, but here's what's weird to me. Okay, let me try this again. would it be wrong for me to take out a gun and shoot my coworker Cy because he's on his computer right now? Would that be wrong?
It depends on what country you live in.
Okay, would it be wrong here? Oh my goodness. Would it be wrong here in the... Wait, no, it doesn't depend what country I'm living in. Teresa, would it be wrong for me to... No.
Sorry.
Was your first... This is just hard for me because I don't understand... I don't understand why so many people, like I've talked to today and others, morality, simple, basic morality, people aren't willing to say, yeah, it's always wrong to murder people. It's always wrong to rape people. It's wrong to kill babies after they're born, no ifs, ands, or buts. Maybe you can help fill me in on this. I don't get why so many people aren't willing to just put their foot down and say, right is right, wrong is wrong. There are, of course, tough situations, but it should just be clear, you don't kill babies. Like, that's clear, right?
Well, you shouldn't kill puppies either, you know? I'm not trying to compare, you know, like, well, basically I am, you know?
Well, is it worse to kill babies or puppies?
Well, people get more time in prison for killing animals than they do for murder. Isn't that...
And that's
kind of bizarre.
Yes, it is.
I mean,
it is bizarre.
Where is morality in this country, in this world?
Well,
I mean, who are we? I just don't think that.
But Teresa, at the end of the day, you said it's apples and oranges, but I think that here's the difference here. This is so, it's so strange to me that even when I bring up the case of what should be clear, a woman has given birth. Here's the baby in front of her. Is it wrong to kill her? And we ask questions like, well, what country? And what's the circumstance? What's the situation? It's so strange to me. It's very, very strange that this indoctrination of relativism, what people have been indoctrinated with since they were little kids about how you have to respect other people's differences of opinions on things. No, you don't. Some people's opinions are racist or evil or stupid. I don't respect all opinions. I respect all people. Because people matter. People have intrinsic dignity and rights from the moment they're conceived. And so I think that all people, no matter how young or old they are, no matter how out there their opinions may be, that they have the right to life, they have the right to be treated with dignity and respect. And so I think if we see that for born children, that obviously you don't kill born children because they're unwanted, then it should be clear for an unborn child, because the only difference here is they're smaller and less developed and more dependent. But those don't change essentially who you are, and that that the younger and more dependent someone is, the weaker they are, we have a greater duty to help them precisely because of how weak and dependent they are. The weaker someone is, the more we have to step up and say, we will protect you even if no one else will. So I think that's something I and I hope our other listeners will think about.
Teresa, we have to say thank you for that call and let you go because we have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Why Are You Pro-Choice today with Trent Horn. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We're going to do our very best to get to you when we come back right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn. Are you looking for a dynamic Catholic speaker to present at your next conference or parish event? Well, we've got a whole host of speakers who are eager to share the truth of the Catholic faith in your community. Go to CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com to get all the information you need to make your event the talk of the town. That's CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com.
Hey everyone, Carlo Broussard here. Can you feel the heat? Summer is upon us. Things are heating up, my friends, and that includes our first ever summer book sale and the online shop at Catholic.com. For a limited time, we've got dozens of great books offered at $10, $5, even as low as $1 a copy. So you can load up on solid Catholic books for yourself, your friends, and your family. This spectacular online event offers saving of 50% and more on books by Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Rod Bennett, Gary Machuda, and a whole host of esteemed authors, evangelists, and apologists, including yours truly. We've even got all of the books in our Catholic Answers Classics series marked down. Log on now and all this month to the store at shop.catholic.com and take advantage of what will be one of the most exciting sales of the summer. You know it's all good stuff, because it's from the people you know and trust at Catholic Answers. Log on to shop.catholic.com and start saving today.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Trent Horn is our guest this hour. Trent Horn's podcast is The Council of Trent, and spell Council, C-O-U-N-S-E-L. You can find him there and find out all about that podcast. I want to give a quick tip to listeners. If Trent, in the course of a call, asks you, is it okay to kill Psy? Don't ask, what country is it in? I just want to go, I'm going to just lay that out as a basic rule of polite discourse.
So you don't want to go backpacking in Europe with me this summer?
It may be that there would be countries where it would be allowed, but I don't want callers asking, well, what country is it in? Yeah. If it's all right.
And to preface, like, I do appreciate our callers where they come from. And certainly, I mean, you know, I'm getting a little worked up here. This is an important issue that I strive to obviously speak charitably and graciously, but I think it's also fair for us to speak powerfully and assertively. This is a very important issue. I mean, the end of the day, look,
right.
If I'm wrong, pro-lifers, I and pro-lifers are oppressing women. That's really bad. We're bigots, or we're discriminating, and we're hurting women if I and other pro-lifers are wrong.
Right.
And that's a very serious thing. But if I'm right, then we're looking at the worst human rights abuse in history of the world, at least in modern times. Millions of lives are lost every year through an act of violence against children. That's something to have emotions over. So, I mean, we can have a charitable discussion, but this is not like just a mere academic debate, or we're not just sitting around spewing theories like, you know, how are the Avengers going to beat Thanos in the next movie or something. You know, we're not just spewing off whatever theories pop in our head and it's all lighthearted affair. This is very serious. So I believe we can have a gracious conversation about a very, very important issue that resonates with people in a very deep way.
Why are you pro-choice is the question of the day. We go now to – I don't have a location. We just go to Delaroy. Delaroy, why are you pro-choice?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. I am pro-choice because I believe that everyone have the freedom of choice. Okay, when a woman is pregnant, the child in her home doesn't have any control. So she have all the control. She determine what happened.
Okay.
Whether she's gonna bring the child or not. Meaning there's a woman could just throw herself down on the ground and then she would have a miscarriage. And so I think that women should have the right or should not be penalized or being forced to choose to whether or not to terminate a pregnancy.
Okay.
And one of the reasons why we get to this stage where we are now is the society itself. Long time ago, having children was a wonderful thing. It, you know, people who couldn't have children would just do every and anything to have children. But the society today make it seem as if you have too much children, then you are not so much of a good person, whereas if you don't have a lot of financial support. And so we make it seem as if having children is a bad thing. So we cultivate that into people. And so
Delaroy, let me jump in here because we're nearing the end of the show. Let me understand your position. You think a woman should have the freedom to have an abortion because the child in her womb is totally dependent on her, and so she's able to decide if the child lives or dies. How is that not might makes right? That sounds like might makes right, that because she has power, She can treat this child however she wants. Why should people in power be able to treat the weak however they want to? That seems wrong.
No, the problem is not, I'm not discussing whether or not the issue is right or wrong. So this is not what this program is not really whether it's right or wrong. It's about the pro-choice. The choice that the person should have.
So you're saying it should be Delroy, let me rephrase it then. You're saying might, it's still the same. Might makes right in the sense that the woman has might or power, so she has the right to end the child's life. But throughout history, we've always seen that it's wrong to say that the strong have the legal right to oppress the weak. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, in a pregnancy is kind of different. And the reason why it's different is that in a pregnancy, it's not about the weak and the strong. A pregnancy is you. That baby is a part of you.
Well, it's not a literal part of the woman's body because let me continue. How could it be a literal part? I guess, Delroy, let me ask you a question. How many brains does a pregnant woman have?
Well, she have one brain.
And how many hearts?
She have one heart.
Okay, so she's got one brain, one heart. So that means her baby, who at 8 weeks has a brain, at 3 weeks has a heart. Those are not parts of the mother. They're parts of the child. So it's not a literal part of her body. This baby is inside of her. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. But why would that give her the right to mistreat that child? I mean, 99% of the time, why is that child in the woman's body? 99% of the time.
Okay, let's analyze the situation, right?
Sure.
You and I, we are male.
Yeah.
So we don't design to carry children.
We cannot. That's
right. The female designed to do that.
We are designed to help. We should help and support the woman that we've been intimate with. Sure.
My issue is not that it is right to commit an abortion. It's not necessarily right. But my issue is, should we take away the choice of the mother? Because I firmly believe that every woman who gets pregnant feels some kind of emotional attachment to this pregnancy. And the only reason why she gets to a stage of committing abortion is going to be because of the negative attachment that society put on pregnancy based on your status in society. Whether you are too young and you shouldn't get pregnant in the first place, or whether you are too poor and you shouldn't have so much children.
But Delroy, here's where I don't think your argument works. I agree with you that society is anti-child in a lot of respects. Look, I just flew across country with two small children. You get a lot of people who are mean about those kinds of things. But imagine if, you know, a woman has born children. Let's say she has six born children, and people are always telling her, you got a lot of kids, you have too many kids. And she feels like, yeah, I do have too many kids. And so she feels society weighing down on her because of that. That would be hard, but that would not justify her killing a born child, one of her many born children, because she feels pressure from society. Absolutely would not. But if it wouldn't justify that for killing a born child, it should be the same for someone who's unborn. And I guess the problem I also have here is just a lot of people will make this argument like the woman should have the choice. Why? Why should she? And the only reason that's given is because, well, she can choose whether to have the baby or not. It's a circular argument. Why? What do you mean she should have the choice? I mean, yes, she can physically get an abortion or not in many countries, but just because you can do something does not mean you should be allowed to do something. We have to ask, what is the thing you're choosing to do? And if it hurts an innocent person, if it kills an innocent child, it should not be allowed to. Even if you still choose to do it, you should not be allowed to do it because it's wrong. And I think that's something we should think about.
And Delroy, thank you so much for the call. Thank you to all of our pro-choice callers today who called and were willing to share why they hold pro-choice beliefs. Trent Horn, it's really good to have you back.
Good to be back, Si.
2 hours tomorrow of open forum. Any question that you have on the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church is welcome, and anybody can call. You don't have to be Catholic. So if you've just always wondered something about Catholics, give us a call tomorrow. We'll be here, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.